ears to hear.
My heart is perceiving.
It's not about dollars.
It's about the love you have for me.
And you've prepared a feast.
For me.
Awesome indeed.
In Jesus' name,
I pray.
I'm going to bring you, because he told me page 80. And it's Isaiah 33. So we're going to go to Isaiah 33. I'm going to read this because it's in line with what our prayer is, which is verse 15. Only those who walk with integrity and speak what is true, who despise even the thoughts of cheating the poor, and do not accept a bribe nor plot violence, not contemplate doing evil, they will live safely on the heights and make their safe place the mountain stronghold, with bread in steady supply and water assured. Now I want to back it up. Verse 13, the righteous king. You who are far away, listen to what I have done. And you who draw near to me, acknowledge my power and strength. Sinners in Zion are afraid, and the godless are gripped with panic, saying, who can dwell with such an all-consuming fire? Who can live in the presence of the never-ending flames? Only those who walk with integrity and speak what is true, who despise even the thoughts of cheating the poor, and do not accept a bribe nor plot violence or deception. I'm adding a few words just to bring it home. Nor contemplate doing evil. They will live safely on the heights. Now, the oil I've anointed you with on Sunday is Go Beyond. I bless the two of you guys today with the same oil. If you're going to go beyond, you're going higher. So your view will be from his perspective and not your little skinny brain. And your cheap brain at that. Okay. They will live safely on the heights and make their safe place the mountain strongholds, with bread in steady supply and water assured. Now there's a footnote on this one that I want you to see. The D part is, this verse refers to those who are enthroned with Christ and seated with him in heavenly realms, Revelations 3:21 and Ephesians 2:6. They receive a supernatural supply of revelation bread and living water. Their eyes are fixed on their beautiful king, not on themselves or their ministries. Ouch. I've seen and I've watched people who are focused on what they can get for themselves or their ministries. And the glory does not reach heaven. The glory that they obtain stops where the buck stops. right where they sit as they direct and give guidance. And it's all about building a kingdom for themselves. God is dealing. Okay? Now I want you to back it up to verse 1. Zion restored. This is a prophetic word now. Zion is the highest realm of being able to live in the presence of the Lord. Woe to you, destroyer, you who have not been destroyed. Woe to you, traitor, you who have not been betrayed. When you have finished your work of destroying, you will be destroyed. You can apply that to the swamp. You can apply that to governments, nations. You can apply that to families and traditions. And when you have completed your betrayal, you will be betrayed. Yahweh, be gracious to us, for we wait for you. Be our strength every morning and rescue us when trouble comes. The nations retreat at the sound of your roaring voice. The nations scatter as you rise in your majesty. Their spoil will be harvested. Did you hear that? Carried away like locusts that strip a field bare. And like leaping locusts, men will leap upon the spoils. Yahweh is high and lifted up. He dwells on high. He lavished his justice and righteousness on Zion. He will be your constant source of stability and change in changing times. Verse 6 is absolutely for now. He will be your constant source of stability in changing times. And out of his abundant love, he gives you the riches of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. Yes, the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. That's also the word respect. Listen, the valiant ones cry in the streets. The envoys of peace weep bitterly. The highways are deserted, and the travelers have disappeared. Covenants are broken and witnesses rejected, and no one is respected. The land mourns and languishes. Lebanon is disgraced and withered. The fields of Sharon are like a desert. The land of Bashan and Carmel are stripped bare. Now I will arise, says the Lord. Now I will exalt myself. Now I will unveil my majesty. Did you hear? Now, not next year. Assyria, your plans are worthless, as useless as chaff. My breath will be a fire that consumes you. As a thorn bush is cut down and thrown into the fire, your nation will be burned to ashes of lime. You see, the fire that comes has an intent. And it's really looking to create something new. But before you create something new, the Lord has to burn the chaff. He has to get rid of what's you in you and in me that is causing us to think small, to act small, and to act poor and react poor. Okay? And you can definitely look back at what I've given you before. Now, I want you to skip over to verse 17. In this place your eyes will see the king in his stunning beauty and gaze upon his broad domain. That means a lot of area, okay? You will look back on the fears of your past and say, did you hear that? You will look back on the fears of your past and say, now, where is the scholar? Where is the advisor? Where is the one who numbered those who are maturing? You will no longer see the defiant foreigners who speak a strange, incomprehensible language. Set your gaze on Zion, the city where we gather for Yahweh's feasts. Your eyes will see Jerusalem as a quiet, pleasant place. It is a secure dwelling, permanent and unmovable, not like a tabernacle that must be taken down and pegs pulled up and transported. Glorious Yahweh will be there for us. In a land with broad rivers and life-giving streams, where the hostile, majestic ships will not sail. The Lord Yahweh is our judge, our lawgiver, and our king. He will save us completely. Now, there's a footnote on that, and it is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. When you are mature in spirit, soul, and body, fullness of life. Okay? That's our objective. That's the goal of the house of prayer, to mature the saints. Okay? We're not to stay like babies and jump around like jackrabbits for the sake of having a high out of our carnal nature. We are here to worship the one who created us. We are here to be developed by him until we are fully alive, spirit, soul, and body. We are designed like, you know, our ancestors were filled with the knowledge of the carnal man. They followed their carnal nature, and we are to go higher. Okay? If you and I have a desire to be completed as Adam was, we've got a picture of the second Adam, which is Christ, our Savior, and we can become like him, which is the reversal of what Adam became. Adam became corrupt. He became a mess. And Eve went with him. Okay? So that part of us needs to be changed. It needs to be transformed. And Jesus went to the cross for that purpose. He reversed the curse. Okay? So we're not cursed anymore. So the Lord Yahweh is our judge, our lawgiver, and our king. He will save us completely. Notice it's he and not you changing or trying to manipulate yourself. You are totally dependent on him. Pause for a moment. When I visited with an individual this past few weeks, I made a comment. And I said, have you run into a roadblock with the Lord? And the person kind of looked at me and didn't want to admit. I said, I have a sense you've run into a roadblock. And you'd like to change something about yourself, but you can't. And you've tried. And it's such a roadblock that you finally threw up your hands and said, I can't do this. I said, that's the beginning of wisdom. Throwing your hands up in the air is the beginning of wisdom. And when you decide, according to James chapter 4, to humble yourself because God is against the proud, God is against the proud. So if you're proud and arrogant and think you can clean up your act, you don't need Jesus and you'll never mature. And there was a change in the person's face. I said, when you decide to get on your knees, or however you decide to pray, but I would suggest your knees, just to come off your tallness, and say, Father, I can't change this roadblock. So I'm giving it to you. Because you have the ability to transform me and make me into what I can't become on my own. Because I've tried, and I have what?
Failed.
See, how come you guys all know about the failure? Does the accuser visit you? If he's all done accusing, he'll be getting rid of. See, did you hear the beginning? Okay? When he's all done playing tricks on you, he will be destroyed. It starts in me. It doesn't start in the world. It starts in me. Yes, Lord. Go back. 22. The Lord Yahweh is our judge, our lawgiver, and our king. He will save us completely, meaning he's going to put his laws in my heart. And when they're written on my heart, it won't be hard because it'll be in there. Your ropes hang loose. Your mast is not secure. Your sail is not unfurled. Then there will be great plunder, such an abundant treasure divided, that even the lame will seize their right rich share. No one living in Zion will say, I am sick. Ouch. No one living in Zion will say, I am sick. For all who live there will have their sins forgiven. Sin is what brought sickness, depression, hopelessness, etc. But the lawgiver is the Lord. And when he puts his law of love inside of me and you, there'll be a change in those around you and in you. Because your example is not going to be religious. I don't want you to become religious, because then you're going to try to sell your goods to somebody else and make them like you. Lift your hands to him. Put your Bibles down. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
you've got a work to do.
You've got a work to do.
There are blocks in my life.
There are blocks in my life
that I can't fix.
That I can't fix.
And I have tried.
And I have tried.
And the more I try,
the more depressing this becomes.
I hear your word.
You
prophesied through Isaiah. On the 33rd chapter, the 22nd verse. The Lord Yahweh is my judge. He's my lawgiver.
He's my king.
And he will save me completely. He won't leave a piece here and a piece there.
He is completing me.
In the image of Jesus,
because
he's the firstborn,
with many brothers
and sisters,
and that's us.
Hallelujah.
It's not them
that he's working on.
He's working on me.
And he's working on us.
And I know I can't perform
and make things happen.
Like God can.
That's why he sent Jesus.
That's why I've got the Holy Ghost.
So Holy Spirit.
And fire.
And living water.
Finish the job.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Now if you say ouch, it's okay.